First of all, welcome. Glad to have you here. Thank you for making it early in the morning and being so bright-eyed. If you notice that I'm not so bright-eyed, there's a reason for that, and I want to share it with you. I haven't slept since Friday. So I'm saying that by way of apology. If I'm seeming to lose focus a little bit, it's not that I'm seeming to. I am losing focus a little bit. It was a mix-up in my prescription. It'll all be fine in the long run. Well, as I was looking to prepare this particular message, I talked to several church members and realized that I was maybe putting the cart before the horse in trying to get deep into meditation, and that maybe we needed a little more basic refresher course, some of us anyway. So I've actually changed this title of this message to a basic 101 of meditation. See, as I was putting the message together, the thought occurred to me that I really shouldn't assume that we're all starting on the same page when it comes to meditation. I, for one, am actually fairly new to the practice, and if you are more practiced in it, I'll admit that this particular message might be a little more than a very simple review for you. For that matter, if you're more practiced in it, we'll be very much looking forward to your input in the response time. I cut this a little short just so we can hear more from you. The reality is, though, that while it is true that meditation was first introduced into the Western world during Greek times nearly 3,000 years ago, the knowledge was, to a large extent anyway, lost over time. Many of us could probably use a bit of a refresher. It's only actually been recently that meditation has been somewhat widely accepted in Western culture. It was reintroduced to the Western world near the beginning of the 20th century, and more folks became curious about Oriental mystical philosophy, which has its roots in meditation. But not only that, but it's only been because of recent advances in technology, particularly in the field of brain monitoring, that the long-reported benefits of meditation are now actually becoming very measurable. So, we end up with a group of folks who at one point might have been somewhat skeptical, but who are now curious about practice, even though many of us haven't been very exposed to very much information about it. Increasingly, the Western world is recognizing that meditation is a way for people to explore their own spirituality. At a time when many people, some of you I suspect, are disillusioned with the institutionalized religions and are starting to leave it, meditation has offered a way to connect with our own inner spirituality. So, let's just look briefly at what meditation is. It's been described as a kind of concentrated thinking. But that doesn't just mean any kind of concentrated thinking. One monk once put it this way: concentrating on a pet rock or ice cream is not meditation. Meditation is the process of concentrating the mind on the source of consciousness within us. The source of consciousness within us. The idea being that over time, hopefully, it leads you to the discovery that your own consciousness is infinite. This is why the goal of meditation is sometimes described as self-realization. Now, the term itself, self-realization, points to the goal of meditation. To realize who we really are at the core of our being. And at that core, there are two different levels of inner self. There's our mental and emotional self, and then there's our spiritual. Now, in meditation, it's very important, this distinction is very important, because the mental self is strongly associated with our sort of limited physical body. And it's understood to be the cause of that feeling of I am an individual person, or more precisely, it basically points to our ego. And that becomes very important in meditation because one of meditation's key goals is to recognize our connectedness to all things. The ego has a tendency to get in the way of that. And one of the most important concepts behind meditation is that our real sense of self-awareness, our real sense of self-awareness comes from a connectedness to wider, subtler forms of consciousness. It says that there's a reflection of the infinite, all-knowing form of consciousness within me. The infinite consciousness, as it is frequently called, is unchanging and eternal. And at its core of our true self, we can find it. A master kept scraping a brick against the floor of a room where the disciple sat as he was trying to meditate. And at first, the disciple was patient, taking this to be sort of a test of his power of concentration. But when the sound became unbearable, he just burst out, "Can't you see that I'm trying to meditate? What on earth are you doing?" The master replied, "I'm polishing this brick to make a mirror out of it." Well, the disciple remarked that it was crazy to try to make a brick into a mirror. The master replied, "It won't be crazier than you. You are trying to meditate thinking that you are a meditator. If that's possible, a brick too can be made into a mirror." Well, the point of the story is that meditation is true when the meditator becomes truly one within the one you are meditating on. You seek to learn to set that ego aside, begin to connect with who you truly are. Now, given our setting on this topic and this talk, it seems to me it might also be important to very briefly talk about the difference between prayer and meditation. Now, prayer can take on various forms. Moderate to conservative Christianity tend to practice intercessory prayer, basically asking for God's intervention on the world. There are, however, kinds of prayers that have a little more, well, we'll call it philosophical sophistication, such as prayers of gratitude, worshipful prayer, contemplative prayer, meditative prayer. And unlike the more commonly practiced intercessory prayer, which hopes to influence God's behavior, those other types of prayer have the intent to bring the person closer to God, to help us feel more connected with the infinite consciousness, with God, with the universe. Now, in all of those cases, however, there is a clear understanding of humanity being not God. There is a separateness. That's a dualistic concept of God and humanity, and it's the line in the sand between prayer and meditation. Meditation places no limit on our realization of our connectedness to the infinite consciousness. It's a non-dualistic practice. And its goal is to seek out the intersection between self and the infinite. Contemplative prayer is simply a form of meditation. Whether it is a Christian practice or is more rooted in traditional meditation, well, that is a question for your own personal theology. Are we all part of a larger whole? Is God, is the infinite consciousness the sum of a whole, or is it the image of God that rests in each of us? Are we completely separate? Or perhaps are we simply capable of connecting with this thing that's larger than us that we sometimes call God? In order to attempt to connect with this infinite consciousness, the practice involves clearing the mind of all thoughts. And as you might expect, it's easier said than done and basically takes a lifetime of practice to even begin to master. Contemplative practices are not something that you just start doing with no problem. It can be very difficult to clear the mind from the clutter of the stuff and the distractions of this world. Contemplative meditation uses a sacred word or a mantra to help with that problem. The idea is that when thoughts start to come into your mind, that you focus on your sacred word, on your mantra, to bring you back to just resting and opening yourself up. The word's not spoken. It's a word that's just repeated in your mind. I've heard it actually explained this way. In India, the mahout, which is an elephant trainer, from the infancy of the elephant, trains the elephant to hold a wooden stick in its trunk so that when it goes through the marketplace, it won't pick up fruit. That is what a mantra or a sacred word or thought is to contemplative meditation. It helps prevent the mind from getting distracted. You concentrate on breath, and you use a mantra. It pulls you back to resting and opening yourself up to the divine. Now, one key that I've learned in my very short time is to use the sacred word or mantra gently. It is very tempting to try to just drown out the distractions that enter in just by repeating your mantra as loudly and as quickly as you can. I can promise you it doesn't work, or at least it never has for me. Instead, use your mantra gently. Think of your mind as a river. The thoughts are things that are floating by. The goal is to learn to just let the thoughts go. In other words, let them float by so that you might clear your mind. When you're tempted to hold on to one, gently enter into your mantra. Now, finally, the goal here isn't to reflect on any theological position here. It's not even to think about God, the infinite consciousness. The goal here is to be with, to experience the infinite consciousness. In a setting such as ours and in a world where so many of us are focused on social injustices, in a world where it seems like there is so much to be done, it is very easy to get exhausted. Contemplative practices cause us to slow down. And they help us rejuvenate the mind and the body and the spirit. Your heart rate slows down. Your blood pressure lowers. All your major muscles have the blood flow increased. Your concentration is improved. Strong emotions like anger and frustration are more easily reduced. And believe it or not, studies have shown that contemplative practices also boost your own personal confidence, which truly improves your ability to manage problems. And contemplative meditation raises endorphins, which help you cope with pain and stress, and also make you feel happier and more relaxed in general. So, I'll simply conclude by inviting you, if you don't already, to begin your own practice of contemplative meditation. You can do it on your own in a quiet space in your house. That's what I prefer to do. You can do it in a peaceful outdoor setting, or I have no doubt that our Inspire group, which meets here in this space on Tuesdays at lunch, would be more than glad to welcome any of you into their community as well. I invite you just to give it a try. Not just for a day or two, but at least for a few weeks. And if you do, I suspect that you might find that you are calmer, that you are more focused, and that you are more able to handle the things that life throws at you. It's your chance to share with this community your thoughts or experiences on meditation. There are those who would like to share. Don't be shy. A lot of you are much more. Go ahead.
I want to start also. I think I read in Ram Dass's book, he's the great spiritual guru, to think of a verse, pull together a verse, and let that go through your mind while you're meditating.
Thanks, Mark. That was a good refresher course for me. I've been practicing, I guess, for over 10 years now, but you can't hear that kind of stuff too much. It refocuses you and brings you back to where you want to be. One of my mentors, Julia Lapham, used to say often, meditation is simple. this is difficult to master. And the operative word is practice.
Practice.
Like any skill, musicians, golfers, or whatever, to achieve or work towards your goal, you need to practice.
Thanks for sharing.
And there are many options in Greensboro besides ours.
But we highly recommend ours.
12 o'clock, yeah. And we have as many people from outside this community as in this community that come. So everyone's welcome.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Others who want to share their experiences or thoughts? I know the rest of us would appreciate it, particularly folks like me that are fairly new.
Thank you. I'm David. I just wanted to say I thought today maybe it was a turning point in the fact that we started the service with more than three people in the congregation. So this is a
pretty big deal.
That only took you how many years, Mark, to get it? I was just thinking that it seems like there's a lot of comments in the New Testament about Jesus retreating to the wilderness to pray. And I wonder if we could make that a sneaky way to say, well, he was really meditating.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, yeah, just
absolutely. As a matter of fact, at 11:15, typically what happens is I write the 11:15 message, and then it inspires what I want to talk about for this one. 11:15 is talking about a particular verse where, while it was still dark, Jesus went out alone to pray. Got several.
Good morning. In my opinion, the music that these ladies did this morning was as much of meditation as it could be.
Absolutely.
And someone asked me once about my meditation, and I told them that my goal was to get as close to being asleep as possible without being asleep. And it's amazing what your inner self will bring out when you get to that point.
Great.
And finally, Washington, D.C. had a trial program on meditation. I can't remember all the specific details, but this happened several years ago. And there was a group of monks and different people got together and had a meditation. And their purpose was to eliminate crime in Washington, D.C. The police chief was informed of this. And he says, when hell freezes over, it will decrease. But they actually held a meditation, and it actually dropped about 20% that was documented by just outsiders meditating on the reducing crime.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
The thing that helped me the most with meditation is the mind works by craving and aversion, and I discovered this on my own, to use the mind and to use the ego thought system in order to bite its own tail off. So once I realized that I am very peaceful and very happy and very joyful when I meditate and when I have no thoughts, and I don't feel as good when I have thoughts, then I use that craving to get to that place of no thoughts, and that eradicates the ego.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Seems to help for me.
If it works, it works. Thanks for sharing that.
Good morning. I'm Elsie. I don't have the schools in front of me, but there have been school districts that have experimented with having children meditate instead of, you know, punishing them, and they have extremely good results with improvement in behavior and interactions and those kinds of things. Also, I find meditating really, really difficult. And there are lots of things that people experiment with. I tried Zentangle, and it was really hard. But even things like crochet or something that's sort of repetitive that you can do, that you have a little bit of a focus that you come back to, can be very similar. My brain, just that river just drags me away.
I'm Ralph. I had a conversation a few years back with a friend who's gone now, but he spent his whole career over in Thailand as a Baptist missionary and working to convert basically Buddhist people to Christianity. And I asked him one time, I said, what about meditation? And he said that the Buddhist philosophy was to empty your mind and cleanse it of thoughts, and that the Christian idea was to meditate on Jesus or a God or something beyond yourself. And I thought this morning that your remarks on the divine consciousness were just beautiful in terms of bringing that all together for me.
Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate that.
Good morning. I'm Siobhan. I, too, find meditation to be difficult, but once I learned mantra or to focus on breath, it did become a lot easier. I just wanted to say meditation is not something that you're trying to get right or do well. It's a gift to myself. It's like a warm hug from the inside, yeah. And just the tiniest bit of connection with that infinite consciousness with God is like a flower opening up. It's just a wonderful bloom feeling of love from the inside. And once I'm up off my cushion, I can feel it throughout my day a little better than I would have without the practice. So
thank you, sir. We have one down front here.
I don't want to do any spiritual practice that doesn't help me chop wood and carry water.
Right.
If it doesn't change my daily life, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. When I started meditating, I do a Buddhist Shambhala meditation practice where we stay totally present, eyes open, understanding that the power is in the moment, that the presence and the power is within us, and we become one with that. And when a thought comes, we simply say, thinking, and come back to the breath and stay totally focused in the moment and becoming one with the presence that is us. I had a person come to my office after I was practicing this, and they had aught against me. They had comments they wanted to make. And immediately my mind started thinking about how I was going to respond to them. They hadn't started but two or three sentences, and I was prepared. When they take a breath, I'm jumping in. And in that moment, the meditation practice jumped in, and I said, thinking. And I stopped my thinking and became present in the moment with that person. And it allowed me to say to them, tell me more. That must have hurt you. How are you doing with this? And when I stayed in the moment, which meditation was teaching me to do, it changed everything. And the only thing we want in my life is to be in the moment, because that's where the power and the presence is for all of us.
My name is Alina. As you mentioned, Mark, there are many different kinds of meditation. Mantra, chanting. The one that's gone mainstream now is called mindfulness.
Mindfulness, yeah.
Which is to mention what you've said. It's about being in the moment and being present with that stillness that's always here that we lose in this distracted world that we live in. And so it's about centering our breath, tuning into the body. And I'll just give a shameless plug. If anyone here is interested in mindfulness and learning more about it, I'm actually teaching it.
Great. So. Make sure you see her afterwards. Are there others who'd like to share?